Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. It's Saturday, March 19, 2022. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Ion College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting dodo birds and leaky black. Kyle Boone is here with me. You're not going to believe how great his internet is. Amazing. And please note that the Ion College Basketball Podcast is presented by Jersey Mike's, which is a proud sponsor of the Naismith Award. Jersey Mike's would like to offer congratulations to all the athletes on this season's Naismith Watch List. If you're not watching live on YouTube, I should tell you, it's 1:30 a.m. Eastern, super late. If you are watching live on YouTube, please, you know what to do. Smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies, and check this out. If we get 200 likes, we did it last night on this video on YouTube, we're going to give away another $100 gift card to Paramount Plus, which is your place to stream NCAA tournament games, NFL, Champions League, PGA Tour, and some of the best films and shows being made right now, among them Mayor of Kingstown, starring Academy Award nominee Jeremy Renner. So just shout out Peacocks or Dodo Birds or Leaky Black or Larnell in the comments. Leave your Twitter handle or your Instagram handle with your comment. And if you win, Nada will contact you and hook you up. All right, Strong Jaw, good to see you. And I wish I could tell you that the first Friday of this NCAA tournament was awesome. But relative to Thursday, at least, it was kind of boring. Top seed Arizona cruised to an 87-70 win over Wright State. Three number two seeds played, Duke, Villanova, Auburn. They each won by at least 17 points. None of them even came close to pulling a Kentucky. Number three seed Purdue blew out Yale. Three seed Texas Tech blew out Montana State. Three seed Wisconsin got tested, but got by Colgate. 16 games were played on Friday. 10 of them were decided by double digits. Strong Jaw, you tell me, was I just spoiled by Thursday, or is it true that Friday was mostly just okay? Unmute Thursday. Yourself, Strong Jaw.
It's a good start to my podcast. Thursday was fantastic, for starters. Friday was just okay. You know, there were some good games. There were some close games. Some of the top teams were tested, most notably number three seed Wisconsin that came down to the wire against Colgate. But on the whole, I think Friday was relatively disappointment. It was pretty bland, especially in comparison to what we got in round one on Thursday, which was just a ton of upsets, a ton of games coming down to the wire. That was not the case on Friday.
No. Listen, you can't have the Peacocks on every day. That's not the way the NCAA tournament works. And by the way, kind of a weird moment with the Peacocks, because Seton Hall got smashed by TCU late Friday. And in the postgame press conference, Kevin Willard was asked, you know, about, you know, his future, because he's been widely connected to the Maryland job. In fact, most people in the industry believe that soon he will be named the next head coach at Maryland, at which point Shaheen Holloway, St. Peter's coach, will, you know, eventually become the next head coach at Seton Hall. Shaheen, of course, played there and used to work there. And so it all makes sense. And usually coaches in Kevin's situation will just say things like, hey, you know, tonight's about my team, about my players, you know, all of the speculation about my future, we can discuss that another time. And he was just like, you know, I'm going to sit down with my agent and we'll talk it out and I'll be real honest. And, you know, if I'm not here, if Shaheen Holloway is here, that would make me the happiest person on the planet. It was like, whoa, St. Peter's has got a game in a few hours. And you basically just announced to the world that their coach will be leaving them very, very soon. So it was just an interesting situation. Did you catch any of that?
I did, and the timing is just incredible. If you're a Seton Hall fan, I get that timing-wise, it's just got to be awful. I mean, they just lost 69-42 to TCU. It's the third biggest tournament loss for Seton Hall in program history. Seton Hall shot 29% from the field. I mean, it was just a dreadful performance. And if I'm a Seton Hall fan, I've got to be just irate at Kevin Willard because it feels a lot like he's just, hey, I'm looking past this game. I don't really care. I've got my next spot picked out. It's on you, Shaheen Holloway.
If you've noticed in these post-game press conferences, you see a lot of coaches and especially a lot of players very in tune with what people were saying. You know, it's like you saw in the Houston post-game, it was like, you know, we had heard a lot about Jelly Walker, and so, you know, we wanted to try to keep him under control. Or the Providence players were like, we saw everybody was picking South Dakota State, and, you know, we were like, we're the Big East champions. I'm paraphrasing here, but a lot of that, like, we heard what people were saying, we saw what people were tweeting, we saw it was on Instagram. And if you acknowledge that that has been noticeable over the past 2 days, then you have to acknowledge this. The Seton Hall players have been seeing and hearing that their coach is leaving. And there's no way to prove that that played a role in this. But for Seton Hall to come out and get smacked like that, I think they shot 28% from the field. I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest that maybe, just maybe, all of the speculation about their coach leaving might have caused some issue that led to them playing as poorly as they played all season.
Yeah, I mean, good luck trying to overlook that. I mean, potentially the future of the program that you're playing for is in doubt at the very least. Now, Shaheen Holloway, if he does end up being the Seton Hall coach, I think that's going to be end up probably being a really good fit. But if you're a player, it's really hard to ignore some of that noise, whether it's on social media, whether it's through the media. And the way that they just came out completely flat in this one, credit to TCU. They looked really good. Mike Miles had 21 points. That's my guy. TCU ended a 35-year drought between NCAA tournament wins. Really, really impressive for the Horned Frogs there. But yeah, if you're a Seton Hall player, it's got to be hard to block out some of that noise. And I would imagine they entered this game with that at least in the back of their heads, knowing that potentially Kevin Willard could be on his way out.
There's no question. So like I said, 16 games played on Friday, 10 of them decided by double digits. TCU Seton Hall was obviously one of them. One of the ones that wasn't was probably my favorite game of Friday, and that was Illinois-Chattanooga. Illinois won it 54-53 and won it 54-53 despite the fact that Chattanooga led that game for 39 minutes and 35 seconds. It's a 40-minute game, in case you don't follow college basketball too closely. 40-minute game in regulation. Chattanooga led the game for all but 25 seconds. Illinois took the lead for the first time inside the final minute. Chattanooga had the ball last possession with a chance to win it. Malachi Smith got it. Got his first shot blocked and then got it back and incredibly got a one bounce in rhythm, clean look, mid-range jumper, and just missed it. And after the game, he said, that's a shot I practice every day. Because, you know, the one bounce pull-up jumper is a shot every basketball player practices every day. He said, it's a shot I practice every day. It's a shot I usually make, and I missed it, and I let my teammates down, and he was really down in the dumps about it. Now, you know, his teammates will lift him up, and, he'll be okay. But when you're Chattanooga, you don't – it's a program that hasn't won an NCAA tournament game, I believe, since 1997. It's been a long time. And you don't get many opportunities where you've got a clean look at a makeable jumper to beat a Big Ten champion, and that's what they had, and he just missed it. And so Illinois moves on to play Houston, which destroyed UAB on Friday night, 82-68. Like I said, Jelly Walker – was not good in this one. Houston really prioritized making things difficult for him. He finished just 1 of 10 from three.
Yeah, I was. I don't know how much of this game you ended up catching, but this Illinois comeback was truly stunning. The Mocs led by 14 points in the first half. They opened the second half with a 7-0 run. They ended up going up by 11 points there. Illinois had a 10-0 run in the second half. And Alfonso Plummer really honestly just completely bailed Illinois out in the second half. He had 13 of his 15 points in the second half. He made all three of Illinois' three-pointers in this game, and they were all in the second half. David Jean-Baptiste only had 4 points on 2 of 11 shooting. Really, Chattanooga's offense just completely flatlined in the second half. And this was a defensive shootout in many ways. There wasn't a ton of offense to go around. I was impressed that Illinois was able to at least hang on in this game. And yeah, they led for all of 25 seconds, but they were the 25 seconds that ended up mattering, and they escaped 54-53.
I saw all of the early stuff because, you know, I wasn't in studio till later. I was doing CBS Sports HQ during the day, writing a column during the day, had radio at 4 Central, 5 Eastern, and then into studio. But the truth is, we went on air live at 11 p.m. Eastern, and we were on air for 2 straight hours, you know, commercial breaks, but that's it. We're on air for 2 straight hours, you know, highlights, going to press conferences, discussing what just happened, discussing what it sets up. So once it gets late, that's when I'm not able to watch the games anymore because we're talking on television. So like early, I saw Ohio State, Loyola Chicago. And man, Loyola Chicago just, I mean, terrible. 41 points against Ohio State. It's an Ohio State team that's not great defensively. I think they were like 132 in adjusted defensive efficiency, according to KenPom, before the game. And like jumped up to around 100 after the game, like moved significantly because of, you know, how well they handled Loyola Chicago on that end of the court. So Loyola Chicago eliminated in the first round. I saw all of that. Obviously, Notre Dame, Alabama, the Irish, the latest first four team to advance to the round of 32. We talked about this on CBS Sports Network tonight. You know, if you're Notre Dame, you don't want to be in the first four. Nobody wants to be in the first four. If you get there as an at-large team, it means that you didn't have a great season. But once you get there, if you're Notre Dame, you got to feel like, all right, we can win two games here, because in the first one, you're playing another first four team. Like by definition, they're just like you. And incredibly, they get to play into the main bracket and they get an Alabama team that had lost to teams worse than them all season long. Like when you get into these types of situations, where it's a win or you're done, those are the stakes. I'm always interested to like look at one team and go, okay, and this is oversimplifying it, sure, but you'll get the point. Hey, is this team we're about to play, have they lost to anybody like us all season long? And if the answer is no, you're up against it, right? Obviously there are exceptions to this. St. Peter's, Kentucky being a great one. Wild things happen. But what Notre Dame could do when it got matched up with a game with Alabama, say, hey, has Alabama lost to anybody like us this season? And you say, oh boy, they've lost to plenty of people like you this season and people way worse than you this season. So I thought that was a favorable matchup for Notre Dame. I actually picked Notre Dame to win the game. And of course, when Javon Quinterly goes down with what Nate Oates described as a serious knee injury, I don't want to say that was game, set, match, but it just felt like, you know, if Alabama was going to win this game, they needed to have their full complement of players. And when you lose somebody the caliber of Quinterly, it got real tough. And so then Alabama ends up losing the game by 14 points.
Yeah, and that the Quinterly injury was early in the game too for Alabama. That was a kind of a tough break early. And Notre Dame was really, really impressive in this one, especially, I mean, you look at the Irish. They just played a double overtime game just a few days ago. Cormac Ryan was on just an absolute heater in this one. 29 points for Notre Dame. Was really impressed with what he was able to do. Alabama, last season, I was really impressed with what Nate Oates did with that team as one of the best defensive teams in college basketball. That has really not been the case for that team all year. They've been hot or cold. they've had some great wins. You know, they beat Gonzaga, they beat Baylor, but they've lost to some teams that are much worse than I think they probably should have probably ended up winning. So, not surprised that they would fall in the first round, and definitely not surprised that this Notre Dame team that seems to be gelling at the right time was able to knock them out of the bracket.
Virginia Tech entered today, having won the ACC tournament. Texas rather entered today on a 3-game losing streak, and then Texas goes out and handles Virginia Tech 81-73. So Chris Beard once again advancing in the NCAA tournament. And then I do want to highlight Iowa State over LSU, 59-54. TJ Otzelberger in the round of 32 of the NCAA tournament after inheriting a program that won just 2 games last season. I mean, that is a remarkable coaching job. And it's also the reason fan bases, and we've talked about this before, and athletic directors don't want to really hear anybody talking about, I got a 3-year plan, or I need time, or, you know, people need to be patient. Like, TJ Otzelberger has blown that out of the water. Trust me, you take over a power conference job in the most difficult league in the country, and the program won 2 games total the previous season, and you march it into the round of 32 of the NCAA tournament, nobody else needs patience. Nobody else needs time. Nobody else needs a 3-year plan. Because of the one-time transfer waiver and the transfer portal, you can remake a roster overnight. Now, I'm not saying everybody can do what TJ did, because they won't. I'm just saying it is theoretically possible to remake a roster overnight in one offseason before your first season even gets started. And that's what TJ did. I mean, look at that graphic if you're watching on YouTube. 2-22 last season, 0-18 in the conference, 21-12 this season, 4 games below 500 in the Big 12. Like, I hear you, but they had already done so much of their resume building in the non-league portion of their schedule that they were always going to be in the tournament safely. And then they got paired with an LSU team that's obviously had a difficult last week. You know, coaches get fired all the time. That's not unusual. A coach of an NCAA tournament team getting fired the weekend before the NCAA tournament, that is highly unusual. We know the circumstances that led to it. And suddenly LSU found itself without its head coach, without one of its assistants. And, you know, I picked Iowa State to win the game largely because of that stuff. Beyond that, say what you want about Will Wade as about the way he allegedly built his program, about the way he allegedly recruited players. Again, you know, say whatever you want to him in that respect. Put that aside, like, however he got the players, he got the players. But when he got them, he could coach them. He's a good coach. He's a good basketball coach. And suddenly LSU found itself without its good basketball coach. And that's why I wasn't terribly surprised or not surprised at all, actually, that Iowa State was able to get to the round of 32. So that was a fun little matchup that had neat stories on both sides of it.
Yeah, and I enjoyed this one. This was like your classic sicko take the under game. 2 top 10 defenses going head to head. LSU top 5 defense in 3-point defense. Was absolutely stunned to see Iowa State's offense bounce back. They really sputtered down the stretch of the season. Credit to Tyrese Hunter, freshman for the Cyclones. He was massive for the Cyclones down the stretch. Had 18 of his 23 points in the second half for Iowa State, and he is a very interesting NBA prospect. I'm not sure if he's going to end up being someone to look for this year or next year's class, but really announced himself on the national stage tonight with 23 points, including several big 3-pointers down the stretch to kind of ice that game late. Isaiah Brockington, also big, had 19 points in that one, but this was a really impressive performance. All things considered for Iowa State, yes, Will Wade in that situation played out for LSU. You know, I would imagine that probably favored Iowa State, but all things considered, I think Iowa State played really well today.
Just a couple of more games from Friday that I want to touch on. Miami over USC, 68-66. A lot of people, myself included, had, as the season progressed, kept staring at USC and going, okay, I guess they're good, but what have they really done? Like, I guess they're good, But where are the big wins? What am I supposed to be paying attention to in terms of things you've accomplished this season? And then they get matched up with a Miami team that was a 10 seed compared to USC 7 seed, and Miami wins it 68-66. I guess it was a controversial foul call in the final seconds. I know Andy Enfield was upset, but, you know, we watched the highlight 50 times tonight on CBS Sports Network, and it was a lower body foul, it looked like. Like, Charlie Moore got hit. He got fouled.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought, too. It was I could see it either way. I think it was right that they called it a foul and he got the free throws. I could also see where they just let it play and see what happens. But yeah, I thought they called it right on the floor.
Yeah, and so Jim Larrañaga, I don't think I'm telling secrets here. Before the season started, people in the industry thought, okay, this will be one more year and then, you know, he'll probably ease into retirement. And instead, he takes a team that I'm not sure was projected to make the NCAA tournament, and they make the NCAA tournament. Now they're in the round of 32, and he just recently got a contract extension. So, you know, he's going to take Miami wherever Miami goes in this tournament, but, you know, it looks like be back for next season as well. And then the last game, and I'm going to need you to do the heavy lifting on this one, because this is one of the ones that, you know, was playing out while we were live on television on CBS Sports Network. Michigan State 74, Davidson 73. I didn't really see how it unfolded, but I did. We carried Bob McKillop's press conference live after the game, and he talked about how proud he was multiple times, said, you know, we were in the middle of the ring. You know, we were never on the ropes. We were in the middle of the ring trading punches with a Big Ten team. We were fighting the whole time, and said he was proud and that he thought they just ran out of time, which is something coaches say when they genuinely believe if we had three more minutes, we'd have won the game. If we had two more minutes, we'd have won the game. We needed a 43-minute game instead of a 40-minute game. Is that did the game actually play out that way?
I could see that. Yeah, it did feel like Davidson was the better team for most of this game, but Michigan State still won the game. Luka Brajkovic was awesome for Davidson. He had 16 points in the second half, 18 points in the game. He was really physical. Just Michigan State had really no answers for him when he started being aggressive in the post and really taking it at the Spartans. They really had no answers. Was really impressed. Tyson Walker coming into this game for Michigan State was actually dinged up, and he played, wasn't very effective. I was curious to see how they would maybe replace some of that scoring production. The answer was Joey Hauser. He had a season-high 27 points. I think he's thrust himself in the conversation as, you know, Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, Joey Hauser, number one pick. We going there?
Joey Hauser?
Absolutely.
It was
he was really impressive tonight.
Yeah, and I think,
obviously joking there,
in the post-game press conference, they were making a point that he maybe now has one more NCAA tournament victory than his brother, something like that. So little family bragging rights. But Michigan State moves on, and that obviously sets up something we'll talk about before we get out of here, and that's Tom Izzo against Mike Krzyzewski one last time on Sunday. Before we move on, let me remind you that the madness is obviously here. You can tell because Cal Boone, according to the comments on YouTube, is in a holding cell with Pinocchio. Don't miss a moment of the action on CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV, and download the March Madness Live app to watch every game anywhere, anytime, live. If you're watching live on YouTube, Hey YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davis. We got to get over 200 likes before Nada ease his grip on those Paramount Plus gift cards. So the Big 12, this is notable because on Friday night's podcast, before Norlander's internet got goofy, made a note that the Mountain West Conference, you know, out of the tournament on, you know, by Thursday night, 0-4. Four teams in, all four lost, round of 64 games. Big 12 on the other end of that spectrum. Got six teams in this NCAA tournament. All six have advanced to the round of 32. And now, they're going to have higher seeded teams in four of the six games that the Big 12 teams play in the round of 32. It's going to be one seed Kansas against nine seed Creighton on Saturday. One seed Baylor against eight seed UNC on Saturday. Three seed Texas Tech against 11 seed Notre Dame on Sunday. Six seed Texas against three seed Purdue on Sunday. Nine seed TCU against one seed Arizona on Sunday. And 11 seed Iowa State against three seed Wisconsin on Sunday. So let me correct myself. Texas is going to be the high. The Big 12 is going to be the higher seeded team in three of the six games that the Big 12 plays in the round of 32. How many of them are they going to win? Big 12 is playing six games in the round of 32. The record in the round of 32 will be what, Strongjaw?
Kansas is winning. Baylor's winning. Texas Tech is winning.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third-row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Texas is not winning. TCU's probably going to take an L. I think it's what that's 4-2. I think that's right. So, yeah, I think
well,
that's
if, probably, if Kansas what, wins, Baylor wins, Texas Tech wins, and you got Texas, TCU, Iowa State losing, that puts you at 3-3.
Three.
Is probably the same. Like if we were putting percentages by it, the highest percentage, most likely record in the round of 32 would probably be 3-3. But if you told me they got four there, I could believe that. Also, if you told me they only got two there, I could believe that. But that's the best conference in the country like the best conference in the country. And so late on Friday night, CBS and Turner did announce tip times for Sunday's game. So all these teams that won on Friday, they're going to play again on Sunday. Let me run you through that real quick. 12:10 p.m. Eastern, Houston against Illinois. That'll be on CBS, America's Most Watched Network, the Network of Stars. 2:40 p.m. Eastern, Villanova against Ohio State. That's going to be on CBS, America's Most Watched Network, Network Stars. 5:15 p.m. Eastern, Duke, Michigan State. Obviously on CBS, America's Most Watched Network, Network of Stars. 6:10 p.m. Eastern, Wisconsin against Iowa State. That'll be on TNT. 7:10 p.m. Eastern, Texas Tech against Notre Dame. That'll be on TBS. 7:45 p.m. Eastern, Auburn against Miami. That'll be on True TV. Disrespectful to Auburn. Jabari Smith. That's disrespectful. Jabari Smith on True TV is disrespectful. I mean, we
Walker
don't have to
Kessler
lie.
On True TV. Unbelievable. 9 blocks today, by the way, for Walker Kessler.
Cameron McGusty on True TV. Disrespectful.
Unbelievable.
8:40 p.m. Eastern, Purdue against Texas on TNT. 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Arizona, TCU on TBS. Let's go to this Wisconsin-Iowa State game real quick because obviously Wisconsin is playing in Milwaukee. That is an advantage. And Johnny Davis will be coming off a massive game. he scored 14 points and like a 14-0 Johnny, like a, like he scored, I think 14 straight points for Wisconsin at one point in the Wisconsin Colgate game when the Badgers pulled away from them and finished with 25. Oscar Tshiebwe bounced in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Keegan Murray bounced in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Is there, because for people who don't know, at CBS Sports, we do not vote for National Player of the Year until after the Elite Eight, before the Final Four. That's when we will announce those awards in that week before the Final Four. So these games that are happening right now, they matter. Even if Johnny Davis goes on a 25-point per game run and gets Wisconsin to the Final Four, is there any scenario where he could pass Oscar Tshiebwe and win the Jersey Mike's Naismith Player of the Year Award?
I think it'd have to be a pretty stellar run at this point. Oscar Tshiebwe, I think, has cemented himself as the clear front runner. Now, if Johnny Davis is going to drop 25 and just keep Wisconsin rolling, then I think there's a real legitimate discussion about who is going to be our National Player of the Year. But right now I've got Tshiebwe number one and Johnny Davis number two, Keegan Murray number three. That is my personal order. I can't imagine it changing, but the way that Johnny Davis played in the second half today was, it's possible I could change my mind.
Yeah, I think it would have to be like a Kemba Walker-like run through the NCAA tournament, and then you could have a conversation. But at this point, I'm assuming, yeah, Oscar Tshiebwe will be the national, the Naismith Player of the Year. And Keegan Murray and Johnny Davis could maybe finish two and three in some order. I guess there's a scenario where Ochai Agbaji could get super hot with Kansas going to the Final Four. Maybe we're throwing him into the top three. But even after a disappointing loss to St. Peter's, and don't forget, Oscar Tshiebwe was awesome against St. Peter. Ain't his fault, Kentucky fans. You point fingers a lot of different places. Ain't his fault. I'm assuming he's going to win the Naismith Player of the Year Award. I know some people sometimes ask, like, why this game here and that game there when these television executives are putting the schedule together for Sunday. My understanding of that 240, because basically you have two standalone windows, the 12-10 game and the 240 game. And then after that, you're going to have multiple games on for most of the rest of the night, though Duke Michigan State probably gets about an hour, 55 minutes to itself. So, I remember a few years ago, there was a game that was the first game on Sunday. And so it was a standalone game. And it wasn't like this, like if you're trying to pick the best game or the next best game or the next best game, you would not pick this game. And I remember talking to, you know, somebody who is involved in these conversations. And I was like, hey, listen, I'm not questioning as much as I'm just curious. Why is that game the game that gets everything started on Sunday? And the answer to that question, I thought this was sort of interesting behind the scenes stuff, that 2:40 Eastern, the 5:15 p.m. Eastern window leading into 60 minutes, that's the big one. You know, that's the best one. That's why Duke Michigan State is there, right? Yeah. But the next best window, my understanding is the 2:40 p.m. Eastern window. That's the next most desirable window. So you have to find the game that you want there and then put the other game that's in that pod before it so that they lead into each other. So basically somebody decided that we want Villanova, Ohio State in that 2:40 p.m. Eastern window. And unless I'm wrong, and if I am wrong, then I'm just going to have to apologize. But can you confirm for this? Confirm this for me. Houston, Illinois, and Villanova, Ohio State are being played at the same place. I think that's right. If it's not, just I take back everything I said. We'll just chalk it up to me being an idiot.
Yeah, not a. Feel free to weigh in if this is incorrect. I believe that's right, though. Looking it up here.
This is something I should have looked up before I started talking.
Houston, no, you are absolutely correct, GP.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, that's why that is the way it is, because you pick what game you want. Thank God I was right.
Nailed it.
I nailed
Never
it.
Never a doubt. Never
I don't
a doubt.
Know why I don't even know. I don't even know why I question myself.
Ridiculous.
Basically, you decide what do you want that 2:40 p.m. Eastern window? Villanova, Ohio State. Okay, what's the other game happening in that building that day? That's going to be your leadoff standalone game, Houston, Illinois. Maybe I'll be a television executive someday. You know, maybe I'll transition into being a television executive. The big game, 5:15 p.m. Eastern, Duke, Michigan State. It will be the sixth time that Tom Izzo and Mike Krzyzewski have coached against each other in the NCAA tournament. No two men have ever coached against each other in the NCAA tournament that many times. Question.
Answer.
After the beatings that Mike Krzyzewski has given Tom Izzo over the years, because the record is lopsided. I want to say like 2-13.
It's 3-12.
3-12?
Yep.
Damn it. Just after I was bragging about getting everything right. then that happens. 3-12. Close. So close. 3-12. After all the beatings K's given Izzo over the years, wouldn't it be something if Izzo ended Mike Krzyzewski's career? Do you give the Spartans a chance to do it?
I don't give him a great chance. I mean, it would be one of the bigger surprises of the second round for sure. I mean, it just from a talent perspective, I mean, Duke has maybe like 5 first rounders on its roster. Now, I know that NBA talent is not everything. It doesn't make a great team, but this Duke team is so stacked. I mean, Paolo Banchero and Mark Williams all the way down. Like, this is a really good roster. And Michigan State's good. They've had a good season. This was a good win for them today, but man, I think the early lines are Michigan State's going to end up as like an 8.5-point underdog. So the Vegas odds makers are not giving them great chances to win and upset Duke.
Yeah, I think Duke gets by. I think Mike Krzyzewski at least coaches to the Sweet 16. I do think things get you know, have a chance to get very difficult at that point. And at that point going forward, them losing any game they play would not surprise me, but I would be surprised. I would be surprised if they lost to Michigan State on Sunday. I'm looking in the comments on YouTube as I was playing television executive. Somebody said that Villanova, Ohio State, from a basketball perspective, is not one of the best games on Sunday. And one thing you need to know about television is they don't care. I don't want to say they don't care, but they're not looking for the best basketball game or the best matchup. They're looking for the best game that's going to draw the biggest number. And Ohio State is a massive national brand. Like, you would rather, like, let's just look at the teams that are playing Sunday. Let's say Miami was ranked third in the country, like literally third in the country in a one seed. You would rather have Ohio State on TV than Miami. Even if Miami was ranked third in the country and a one seed in this tournament, from a television perspective, Ohio State is just a much bigger basketball brand, just brand in general, alums living all over the country. So that plays a big role in this stuff too. It's why, every year or some years, when John Calipari would act like there must be some, they really made us a tough path and, put St. Peter's in our way, and talks about there's some conspiracy against Kentucky. The truth is there is nothing on this planet television executives want more than Kentucky in the Final Four every year. They want Kentucky playing for the national championship every year. If you go ask a television executive, so what would be the ideal national championship game? Kentucky Duke every year. Just give us Kentucky Duke every year and we'll be happy. I don't care if they're both one seeds or both 7 seeds. Kentucky Duke every year makes everybody happy. So what brands will people watch seems to be a hugely important thing as opposed to what's the best basketball game or what's the most interesting basketball game. But, on Sunday, we're going to have a good batch of them. Houston, Illinois, Villanova, Ohio State, Duke, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Notre Dame, Auburn, Miami, Purdue, Texas, Arizona, TCU. They will happen in that order. Nada? Did we ever get the required amount of likes so that you can give away this Paramount Plus card and I can get back to watching Bad Vegan?
At this point, I'm willing to – I just need to get to 150. So and we're at 147. So three of you guys just need to hit like, and then we can get this all done, and then everybody's happy. So we get to watching Bad Vegan again.
Who is out there not smashing the like button like they're Brandon Davies? I thought there was more of us than there are of them. Maybe there's more of them than there are of us.
I'm disappointed right now. I'm quite honestly, I'm disappointed.
What are these people doing? Do you not know how to smash? It's Friday night. What better night to smash than Friday night? I'm not asking you to smash. I'm not asking you to smash on Wednesday afternoon.
We got to 150. We got to 150, but we were asking for 200. I didn't think 200 was going to be that much to ask for.
Do I need to impersonate a peacock again? Is that what it takes to get above 200?
I think so. You've been practicing your blue hen, by the way?
I have not. I have not practiced my peacock or my blue hen since last night. Do I need to impersonate a peacock again to get 200 likes? It's Friday night.
Comments say yes.
It's Friday night. You smash like Brandon Davies.
It's trending.
do the peacock. I can't do the peacock. That is so ridiculous. They got all over social media me peacocking like an idiot. Plus, it's 2:10 in the morning. I'm in a hotel. If you can't tell, I'm in a hotel. And, like, imagine if I'm back to bed. Let's say, because I've been here a week, feels like. And, like, what if the person in the room next to me has also been here for, you know, several days? And they call downstairs and they're like, listen, I know this is weird. But on the past two nights, like, at some point after 1:30, sounds like there's a peacock in the room next to me. Can you check on that room next to me and see if they got a peacock in there? Can't just be peacocking. Can't be peacocking this late at night every night. That's outrageous. It's outrageous behavior. It's outrageous behavior.
You've got the comments worked up. Everyone's angry. They feel like you teased it. Now you can't go back.
I cannot peacock every podcast. It's got to be a special thing, you know? It's like my kids come to me, they play Fortnite on their little Nintendo Switches, and every day they come to me, they want to use V-Bucks. Say, Dad, can you buy me some more V-Bucks? I'm like, what are you doing with these V-Bucks? And I said, no, we can't do V-Bucks every day, all right? It's got to be something special. Let's do V-Bucks every Saturday. How about that? I'm happy to buy both of you V-Bucks every Saturday if you act right between now and Saturday. And now you know what they do? Instead of asking me for V-Bucks every day, you know what they ask me every day? Is today Saturday? I'm like, I got to get you guys a calendar. Is today Saturday? No. Today's Tuesday. Is tomorrow Saturday? Will you get back in school and learn your days? Stop asking me if tomorrow's Saturday. I just told you it's Wednesday. And your follow-up question was, is tomorrow Saturday? How am I ever going to get you in college? Jesus Lord. Smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. Strong Jaw, I want to compliment you. First on your setup. It does look like you're in a holding cell with Pinocchio. Which, if you have to be in a holding cell,
it's not the Pinocchio, worst.
Not the worst. It's certainly not the
fine
worst.
Company. Fine company. Full disclosure here. My wife and I sold our house last week. So we're actually living with my parents for 2 weeks. So I'm in the living room of my parents' house. And my parents are awake in the other room with our 2-year-old. So this is it's a fantastic setup. But
Hold on. Let's stop here. Your parents in their living room have a Pinocchio hanging like that. Is that real life? What is going on? Yes. Let's talk about that for a second.
Dirty Santa gift or bad Santa? What do they call that?
I don't know.
Yeah, like a dirty Santa gift.
What I'm looking at right now, that's what your parents' house looks like. Your living room.
That's correct. Yes.
That's wild. Yeah,
this just hangs in the living room.
That is creepy, man. I wouldn't be surprised if that thing came like awake at night and murdered somebody.
Yeah, fortunately, our 2-year-old has already broken it, so it's bound for the trash here soon. So definitely
Cowboon's parents' living room is a wild scene. That's an interesting situation we got going on there. But the internet, hey, I'll tell you this, internet's amazing.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I checked it earlier. And you know what it said? Internet, it's fast. Fast internet.
And reliable.
I knew you'd be happy with that.
I'm really happy with it. I appreciate you being here so late at night. Not everybody would stay up this late with me, but I appreciate you doing it. It's always good to see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Nada, do we have a winner? Can we do that now?
We do have a winner. I think we're just going to give it to Ellen tonight for being so kind and essentially for not roasting my audio setup, because people are asking, where's my mic? And I don't talk on this. I'm like Sam Bassini. I hide in the basement. So therefore, I'm going to give the Paramount Plus gift card to Ellen. Ellen, if you would please DM the Ion College Basketball Twitter account, we'll get all this set up.
Ellen, thank you for listening. To all of you guys out there, thank you for listening. Like, we don't take this for granted that a lot of you guys are staying up. You know, it's 2:15 a.m. on the East Coast. It's late. I have to be up. This is my job. This is what allows me to buy V-Bucks. I got to be here. But you guys don't have to, so I appreciate you being here. It's super-duper nice and very appreciated. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Wyatt Winslow, 6'2 legend, took one shot in two games for Baylor back in the 1999-2000 season. Shouts to Larnell. Thank you guys once again for listening to the Ion College Basketball Podcast in the middle of the dumbest pandemic of my lifetime. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. 5 stars, nice review. You can write words at Apple Podcasts. There's more of us than there are of them that needs to be reflected in the reviews. If you haven't subscribed to this YouTube channel yet, please do that so that we can reach the point where I can stop asking you to. In my real life, like, I don't ask people to do things for me. I don't beg people to do things for me. I have a real, like, hang up with that. So you have no idea how uncomfortable I am constantly saying, could you please go subscribe to the YouTube channel? I don't like doing that. So let's just make a deal. Go do it, and then I'll stop asking you. I'll be more comfortable, and everything will be the way it should be. Please. Please, if you haven't subscribed yet, go subscribe, and we will talk to you again real soon. By real soon, I mean, I believe, same time tomorrow night, 1:30 a.m. Eastern. I honestly don't know who's doing the Iowa College Basketball Podcast. Originally, it was supposed to be Norlander and David Cobb, I think, but Norlander's internet, his internet situation ain't good, Nada.
We got something to handle it. We got something to handle it. His internet situation will be pretty good.
I've heard that before.
But is it fast?
Put that on the list of things I've heard before. So it might just be Deadleg and David Cobb. I might be here if I feel like it. If I want to, I'll be here. We'll just be here at 1:30, and it'll be a surprise for all of us. Till then, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.